The clerk will call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Senators Pullman?
Here.
Kilzer? Sinner?
Here.
Representative Zimmerman?
Here.
Kaiser? And Ruby?
Here.
Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Thank you. We will start with consideration of the minutes of June 22nd, 2016. It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the June 22nd meeting. All those in favor respond by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, motion passes, and we will move on to our 105 agenda items. The annual report on pilot programs using alternative methods to provide rehabilitation. So we've got someone here from Workforce Safety and Insurance. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Robin Halverson, and I oversee the return to work services, which includes our vocational rehabilitation and our medical case management programs. Just in brief summary, what I just wanted to visit a little bit today about is our program, which is called the Collaborative Vocational Services Program. The intent behind this program is to offer services that provide strategies to an injured worker and their family as they go through the recovery and the return to work process. We implement this program by utilizing guidance and financial counseling. To date, we have offered the program to 193 individuals, and we have had 30 individuals accept the retraining or accept the program. How we work this is when an individual is about to enter the vocational rehabilitation program, we do send them out a letter and ask if they're interested in the program. The letter does explain what the program is and what they need to do if they're interested in the program. Once the letter is sent out, if we haven't heard back from them within a couple weeks, then what we do is we make a personal call to them just to talk a little bit more about the program, see if they have any questions, and if there is any interest. We will follow up later on in the process. If at that time they don't feel they have an interest, we will follow up later on and we'll visit with them a little bit more about the program. So recently, and Jennifer was good enough to hand out the survey, we did do a survey of the individuals that have gone through the program so far, and there were some areas that we felt we needed to make improvements to our program. And so the first improvement that we noticed that was needed was the financial planning. We had financial planners that would work with the individuals. Many of the individuals had indicated that the financial planning wasn't as helpful as they hoped it would be. And in discussing this with our group, we had determined that financial planning maybe isn't the right avenue to go down, that we should be looking at financial counseling. We have contacted, and we do have an agreement with the village out of Fargo, and they will provide our financial counseling for us. One of the barriers we have with the financial counseling is the village no longer has financial counseling in each one of their offices, but the gentleman from Fargo is willing to travel, and he's willing to do it by video or by telephone if necessary. But we will continue to look for other financial counselors in the future. Travel was also an issue for these individuals. Because we have counselors in Bismarck and Fargo, some of the areas that required travel would be the Grand Forks, Minot, Williston, Dickinson's areas. And so we are in talks with the village, as they have offices in each one of these cities, and they do have counselors. And so we will be working with the village to see if they can provide us counselors in these areas so that we don't have to require them to travel quite so far to go to counseling. We do pay mileage when they do travel, but that doesn't seem to be the issue. It's more the time involved in the travel, and sometimes with a work injury, the travel's too far for them to travel. One of the other areas that we were taking a look at is the timeliness of referrals. We did have some individuals in the survey that had indicated that they had wished that they would have gotten the information earlier. And so we are going to be working on some additional training with our claims adjusters and our medical case managers, just a refresher on the program to make sure that they understand what the programs are and some of the recommendations that we have for eligibility for the program. Our suggestions at this time from our committee are that we continue with our program and we would like to continue in the pilot program through June of 2017. And at that time, then it would be our intent to assess whether or not this is a piece that we can adopt into our work schedule and whether or not it needs legislative assistance. Any questions?
Representative Ruby.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Robin, there's a lot of NAs on here. Is this because a lot of the people just didn't take advantage of that at all? They didn't need it or chose not to have it?
Representative Ruby, Madam Chairman, the NAs on the report represent those that had initially would have liked to have attended the program, but did not.
Okay. So, and that was for the traveling issues that you're talking
about? Some of them
were
traveling issues, yes, correct.
Okay.
Some started and some discontinued.
And it looks like most, you know, I guess they had the assistance and then the timing, they were slightly higher on the timing, thinking that was, you know, more appropriate even or better than the actual assistance they got. But there is one I'm surprised that they thought the assistance was very good. It was at a 4, but the timing was a 1. So is that something that, you know, it doesn't look like that's the majority of them, but there is kind of an issue with some on that? They felt it was good, but they just wish they'd had it sooner? Is that what you gleaned from that?
Representative Ruby, Madam Chairman, yes, that is correct. There are some individuals that felt that they could have used the program earlier, and through conversations, that was something that we took under advisement. Sometimes even prior to going into the vocational rehabilitation program, families are having a tough time even coping with the injury itself, coping with the lack of financial, you know, assistance or financial abilities. And that's where we need to do more training with our adjusters and our medical case managers so we can identify those sooner than when they're coming into the voc rehab process.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Ammerman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the one comment on the financial, that somebody was told it would cost $600 after 3 sessions. Is that how it works?
Representative Ammerman, Madam Chairman, that is correct. What we did with the program is they were entitled to 4 sessions, and our financial planner asked us to pay $600, which we were accountable for. Anything after the 4 sessions would have been the responsibility of the injured worker, and I believe that's what the financial planner was advising the individual, that if they wanted to stay with them for financial planning, after the 4 sessions, they would be responsible financially.
Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
All right. Committee discussion, comments by interested persons. First. Any committee discussion in relation to Robin's report? Senator Sinner.
Madam Chair, the only thing I would say is it would certainly be nice to have information like this ahead of the meeting so we could be somewhat prepared with questions and analysis rather than, you know, sit down and 5 minutes later we're looking at this trying to figure out what we're doing. I didn't even know the copy of the survey was on the back. I didn't know that 1 was strongly disagree. I didn't know 4 was strongly disagree, and we're through the presentation before I figured all that out. I mean, it's nice to have the report, but it's to me, it's not very timely.
Senator Sinner, maybe we should have her come back when we come back to Bismarck, and then we can digest the information between now and our next Bismarck meeting, and if Robin would be willing to come back to answer our questions, that would be wonderful, because I agree there's a lot to digest here and we should probably take the time to do that and ask our questions at a future meeting. Representative Ruby.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess my comment is, you know, I know that the department goes through performance evaluations and different things, but I do like that and appreciate that they survey the people to find out where any weaknesses are. And, you know, and then their intention is to improve on those, which is good. I think that's you know, exactly what we need. And ongoing from here and seeing what those improvements do and surveying them again, I think is valuable and will only make it better. So, you know, I guess I understood, you know, the fours were going to be, you know, they're happy and ones were going to be low because it's most every survey I see is kind of that way. You know, highest is best and lowest is worst. But, you know, seeing the questions is good. Seeing the comments, I appreciate. Yes, I didn't get a chance to read through the comments. And maybe Representative Ammerman was doing that while I was asking my questions about some of the scores. But so, I mean, obviously, you know, I could have gotten here earlier to read some of this too. It was here in front of us. So that's my comments.
Thank you, Representative Ruby. And I would echo the same comments and just say this is really a great program and just shows how workforce safety is looking not just at getting someone a job, but they're looking at the whole picture, their mental health, their financial health. I think that that's really just a great direction to be going to see these people as humans who are dealing with a whole lot more than just needing to get back to work. So I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. All right, moving on to our 125 agenda item. We are going to hear the biennial report of compiled data relating to safety grants.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Nick Jolliffe, and I'm the loss control director with Workforce Safety and Insurance. And under loss control, we have oversight of all of our safety initiatives, as well as our safety training and education programs. Pursuant to 6503 of the Century Code, I'm here to report today on the biennial status of where we're at with the safety programs, the appropriations, and the status of the current grants that we have in place. And I'll be referring to this worksheet that says active safety programs on the top. We currently have two grant programs that are in place at this time. And the two main programs as far as that involve grants are the STEP program, the Safety Training and Education Program, as well as the ERGO Initiative Grant Program. The first program I'll be referring to is the STEP program. And the purpose of the STEP program is to provide financial assistance to promote safety practices through safety training and education. The program seeks to enlist the resources of North Dakota associations and employee organizations to assist in reducing injuries and accidents. Over $3 million has been awarded through the STEP programs through May 31st of 2016. The STEP program was initiated back in 2007, and we currently work with 19 different associations that are employer groups or associations across the state of North Dakota. During this time, since 2007, we've issued 101 total grants to those associations. And as I mentioned, those grants total $3.7 million in grants to those. The grant recipients for the STEP grant are located on our website. But just to give you a couple of examples of our partners in the STEP grant, it'd be the North Dakota Safety Council, Association of General Contractors, and the Firefighters Association, to name a few in that area. The second grant program that we are heavily involved right now is through the ERGO Initiative. And we have put this program back, or put this together in effect of 2009. It's an ERGO Initiative along with the grant program. We have found that approximately 35% of all claims filed can be traced back to poor ergonomics. What typically begins as minor aches and pains, if ignored, has the potential to develop into a significant and costly claim. This proactive program offers employers financial assistance to help in reducing or eliminating cumulative type injuries at the workplace. To date, over $13.7 million has been awarded through the ERGO program through May 31st of 2016. As I mentioned, the effective date for this program was 2009. An ERGO assessment consists of, we partner with vendors, and they will go out to an employer who chooses to participate in our program, and we work with them to identify significant areas of potential danger in the area ergonomics. Since 2009, we have conducted 1,956 employer assessments. And once the assessment is completed, these employers then become eligible to participate in our grant program and request a grant where recommendations through the assessment, whether it be for additional training or to purchase equipment that may help alleviate ergonomic type programs, they can apply for a grant, which we will come in and assist in funding. To date, we've had 1,784 grants that have been awarded to the tune of $13.7 million. Another area that is not associated with the grants, but it comes from the safety appropriated funds that we have, is the learning management solution. This solution allows WSI to deliver a value proposition that states we can deliver safety training that can reach our customers wherever they want and wherever they live. Our goal is to provide a high-tech, low-touch approach to safety training. This service is unique because it is available to our WSI customers 24 hours, 7 days a week. We put this program together back in June of 2006. Currently, in our learning management system catalog of all the different titles of safety training we have 352 offerings, and we'll be adding a significant more titles along with courses to be offered in different languages this fall as well. We have had a total of 634 uploaded employers in the system. That means 634 employers have signed up to participate in the Learning Management System program. Right now, as of June 30th of 2016, we have 330 active employers that are using the system. Those 330 employers, that means that there's 12,167 active employees in the state of North Dakota utilizing the Learning Management System as of June 30th. And we've had 39,715 users that have uploaded into our system over that time. And through that entire time period, we are closing in on close to 500,000 courses that have been offered to these employers, 491,766 safety training courses have been taken at no additional cost to their premium for these employers that choose to participate in our LMS program. And then a new program that we've offered that comes through the appropriated funds is the OSHA 10 program. This is our newest program that we just started offering in December of 2014. Where employers who choose to participate, they can have their employees go through the OSHA 10-hour general and the OSHA 10-hour construction. And upon completion, they will receive their 10-hour certification cards from OSHA. And it's significant right now because a lot of the bidding process for these employers require that the employees that are going to be working on the sites have the OSHA 10 certifications. So to date, through the OSHA 10 general training, we've had 479 that have completed the program. And the OSHA 10 construction, we've had 586. And again, this is offered to our policyholders at no additional charge to their premium. If they were to go out and seek this service through other resources that are available, they'd be paying close to $100 per participant. For participation in those programs. If you take a look at the graphs on the next page there, this is just a snapshot of where we're sitting with our continuing appropriations funding, going all the way back to the 2005-2007 biennium when we started out with some of the more significant programs, the Help Work programs, which are programs that are no longer offered. It was back in June 9th of 2005 when $35 million was set aside in continuing appropriated funds for our safety training efforts and our grant programs. As you can see, we're going through that funding to the point of, in 2012, we secured another $15 million, and then back in June 17th of last year, we secured another $5 million. So where we're at on the programming, as you can see, and I won't go through all the numbers with them, you can read that, but right now we've put a grand total since 2005 of $44,518,000. With all those allocated funds or I should say appropriated funds, we have $55 million total. We have $10,481,000 remaining of those appropriated funds. However, we have $1.9 million that has been awarded to grant recipients for the ERGO award that they haven't requested reimbursement yet on that. So the appropriations that we have left are about $8.4 million that, and for the most part of that $8.4 million, that is earmarked for continuation of the programs that we have, as well as some other things that we have on the radar that we'd like to do through our safety training and education programs. Questions?
Senator Sinnott?
Yes, thank you. First question I have is, you got $55 million, which you said you have available. Is any of that money federal money? How much of it is state money? How much of it comes from the ratepayers?
Senator Sinnott, Madam Chair, that money comes from the excess from the fund we have. It's not from the general fund monies. It's money that we have from our surplus that I think back in 2005 when it was determined that we wanted to put a very concentrated initiative towards safety, that the $35 million was identified through surplus funds. And that's how all of these programs are funded. They're different. These programs that I talk about here, that's a requirement for the reporting of 6503, are different from our safety discounts. The discounts are applied to the premium that is paid. So if that is coming from the premium payers, the safety discount for participating in our programs, the grant funding is solely from the continuing appropriated funds that we have.
And no federal funds at
all? No federal funds.
And then when, if I could continue, I've got a few questions here. So let's go, and I'm just going to go right through the list here. So it says in here the number of associations. So who are the associations that you're talking about under the STEP program?
Yep.
Give me an example of one.
Senator Sinnott, an example of that would be the North Dakota Safety Council. For example, and I'll lead on that for every year, they have a safety conference that is conducted most of the time in Bismarck here, but it goes around the state, where they are up to 1,000 participants that will attend this conference. And we go in and we're the major sponsor for them to be able to put on that type of training, where they bring in national speakers and they'll have well over 100 breakout sessions regarding safety and health and wellness type topics. And that's a major association that we work with on a yearly basis.
Okay, and then on the ERGO initiative and ERGO grant program, I did a little math and came out to about approximately $7,700 is the average grant. What's the largest grant you've ever given out?
It has a max capacity. It's a one-time grant, and it's broken up into categories based on their premium size. They can receive a grant award anywhere from $5,000 up to $50,000 based on their premium size.
So the maximum probably could be 50.
It's $50,000.
And have you given out many of those?
Yes, we do, Senator.
Okay. Because if the average is $7,680, mm-hmm. you've given out $13 million. And the last question I have is on the learning management system. I'm a little confused on the numbers. And I understand there's 1,300 and, or 352, is that the different programs that are available with software that you can upload?
Senator, Madam Chair, the 350, those are titles that we have. And I'll give you examples. There's 350 titles that can include trench safety, confined space safety, just all different titles that run the gambit that we have reached out and where we feel that all the industries in North Dakota, there's titles regarding the health industry, manufacturing industry, the hospitality industry. There's something for all of our policyholders in those titles.
So are these like a video they watch? Or?
They log on to the computer, they're online, and they can go from anywhere from a 15-minute video to a one-hour session with testing at the completion of each of those training sessions.
And then it talks about the number of uploaded employers and the number of active. So the number of uploaded, I don't exactly understand what you mean by uploaded employers and active employers.
Senator, Madam Chair, what the uploaded users are, that means there's 39,715 users in the system that at any given time they can become active, and they may have started some training for a while and then chose to go dormant for a while.
So let me interrupt you for a second. So they work for 634 employers, those 39,000?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And the 12,000, that's how many are using it within a certain amount of time?
That's
recently?
How many, Senator, right now are actively using the system.
And how many employers and employees do we have in North Dakota?
We have approximately 24,000, 25,000 employers.
Employers?
Mm-hmm.
And employees?
And 417 some thousand.
So we got a long way to grow mm-hmm. this program, don't we?
And Senator, Madam Chair, that's a great question. We get that a lot. With the employers that we have participating in our programs, whether it be our safety management programs, our ERGO initiatives, the learning management system, that small number, which sounds like a small number in comparison to 25,000, they make up a large book of our business. For example, we have about 1,000 participants in our safety management program. That's our marquee 10% safety management program. Again, while 1,000 employers sounds like a small number in comparison to the large picture of 25,000, those 1,000 employers make up well over 40% of WSI's book of business. So the program participation that we have in loss control, we are seeing we call them the players, the folks that are having incidences and you know, generating the book of business with WSI. But our programs, make no mistake, are not just solely for those. And one of the things that we did just in this last year is we had a thematic goal called defining health and wellness, defining the future. And one of the things that came out of that, we were talking about doing surveys. We did an extensive survey to all 25,000 employers in the state. We didn't get quite that response, but the main thing that they were talking about was the lack of awareness in our programs. So one of the things that are going to come out of that thematic goal is we're doing an inside initiative to make sure that the employers in the state of North Dakota are aware of the different offerings that we have.
And last question. I care deeply about this subject, but the last question I have is, when you have an employer that has, let's just say, a regular problem of injured workers or claims, do you force them to do some of these things? Can you do that?
Senator, Madam Chair, we do not force them to participate in the programs. But we are very active in approaching them and letting them know exactly where they stand, why we're there, and why the importance of participating in the programs would be. through loss control at WSI, we do not consider ourselves to be in the business of compliance. We are in the business of consultation. We leave the compliance efforts to OSHA. And in a situation where we have an employer that just refuses to knowingly have an unsafe environment for their workers, we will probably work with OSHA and have OSHA approach the compliance part of it. But we do everything in our power, because this is very important to us as well, Senator, the safety of our employees is. We look for trends all the time. All of our people in loss control, we get reports of the claims that are coming in. We will work with the adjusters. If we see trends from an employer, such as they've gone 5 years without a claim and already in the this year they have five this year, that will be a red flag, and we will usually send a safety consultant out there just to say, we're here for you.
Thank you. Representative Ruby.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Does the LMS program, is that the program that initiates the discount to the employer, or is that a different program and a different safety program?
Representative Ruby, Madam Chair, it is a program that if you participate, the learning management system is one component of what we call our safety action menu items, our SAM items, which we have eight different ones. If you select the learning management system and meet the criteria of that particular SAM item, you can receive a 5% discount off of your premium by participating in the learning management system. But you do not have to participate in the SAM program to utilize the learning management system.
Okay. So how does an employer sign up for that, to where they can participate in the discount, but also then be, you know, sign, obviously this is online, so mm-hmm. there's a sign up.
Representative
process.
Ruby, Madam Chair, all of the information regarding our programming is available online with our application forms. They come in, they will go to Ms. Wick, and she will make contact and get them uploaded into the system to participate in the learning management system. We train an administrator on their site to take over the administration of it. But it's as simple as making a phone call to WSI to become enrolled.
So the number of users, then, this is generally, since this mainly shows employers, this would be a safety coordinator that is in charge of doing this, the safety programs for the rest of the employees, and they get the information and train here and then use that information there? Is that, because that doesn't look, it looks like the OSHA one is more for employee training as far as...
Representative Ruby, Madam Chair, how the LMS works is, usually it's, a safety coordinator that we work with usually will make contact with WSI, and they will become the contact with us, and they will set, and we will set them up as the administrator, and then they will usually administer how their employees are going to utilize the learning management system. The OSHA 10 basically works the same way. It's through the same training company, Peer Safety, that the LMS is on. And it, yes, it is set up for employees. And the employer will contact us and say, I want to participate in the OSHA 10, and I want these people to take the course. We'll get them uploaded for them, and then they have 3 months or so to complete the course, 6 months.
Other questions? Mr. Jolliffe, just to follow up on Senator Sinner's question, he had talked about the discrepancy between the number of employers we have in the state and the number of employers actually part of the LMS system. I'm trying to wrap my head around what the typical employer is. Do you find that maybe bigger corporate structures have their own corporate training, safety training, and so they maybe don't utilize this? Is this more of a small business type of program? Or maybe there isn't any sort of trend that way, but I'm just wondering if that might be part of it.
Madam Chair, we see it from all levels of premium payer, from the minimum $250 premium payer to $1 million premium payer. But your point is well taken, is a lot of the corporations, the larger ones, they do have very robust in-house safety programs. where they do their own internal training, where perhaps they may not utilize the LMS, but they choose to go their own route. Again, just because they don't choose to participate in our programs does not mean that we don't make our consultants available for them.
And can they still qualify for the safety discounts with their own corporate in-house programs, or do they have to use your programs in order to qualify for those?
Madam Chair, if they sign up for our programs and the programs that they have in place from the corporate level, if that meets the criteria of our programs, then yes, they would be eligible for the discounts.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Any comments by interested persons in relation to Mr. Jolliffe's report? Committee discussion. Nobody's got anything to say today? Well, I just want to thank you both for coming in and talking to us as someone who is constantly learning about workforce safety and insurance and everything you do. I very much appreciate you taking our questions and filling us in and all the good things that you're doing there. So thank you very much. We will need to hear from some more injured workers up in Minot. And so if people could take a look at their calendar, if you've got it with you or on you. We are looking at that last week in August, the very beginning of the week, right?
Madam Chairman, committee members, I've looked at the Legislative Council calendar for that last week in August, the 29th, 30th, 31st, and then September 1st, and then rolling over to the first week of September. Memorial Day is Monday.
Labor Day, yeah.
Labor, sorry. Summer hasn't started for me yet. And then the 6th, 7th, and 8th, so that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We could do it on a Friday. We just typically don't. So it looks like we're clear except for Thursday the 1st. You have an obligation with employee benefits.
Right.
Otherwise, 29, 30, 31 looks good on a Legislative Council calendar. As well as 6, 7, 8.
Okay, the following week I'm actually out because I'm taking a young man to college that week. So Representative Kaiser can take over at that time, but if people choose those dates.
But we look good for 29, 30, 31. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
And maybe 3 days?
No. One, hopefully, maybe two.
Our goal is to do it in one day. It might be a long day, but it would mean we wouldn't need the overnight. We wouldn't need a two-day meeting, so we wouldn't have to stay overnight and then get up the second day.
Right.
Right now we've got up to 5 injured workers. Once I have a date, I'll contact them and find out their availability. They'd all be the Minot area. If they're not available, I will offer them the alternative to participate by phone when we're in Bismarck at our next meeting. I don't want to offer phone participation at the Minot site because if we have technology problems, I'd rather not deal with it there. I want to make sure that we really can hear them well and vice versa. So we'd have them phone into our Bismarck site when we do that. So we... Yep.
You know, my preference would be to schedule 2 days in Minot that week that you're here and start like late morning. I could drive up in the morning that way. Say we could start at 10 o'clock and then if we need to go into the next day, because I'm not going to be able to, I'm going to be out there 3 days almost anyway if I'm staying late. So if we're running into like in the evening to do, I'm going to be driving home the next day. I'm going to be there and I don't know what, if they're going to cover my room. I'd rather stay over the next morning and blow that day anyway rather than get up and drive home and try and be home by noon to work. I would rather stay the next morning, do it in the morning, and cover it that way, cover 2 days up there. I don't know if that creates problems for you, though.
It makes no difference to me. Yeah. Let's see how many.
He and I. Well, don't worry about me. I'll get there.
Let's shoot for the 1 day, and if we find that we have 5
Madam Chairman, what I can do to save our date is if you give me 2 days, I will, you tell me what your preferred day is, and that's where I'll try to get them. What I think might happen is we may have somebody say, I'm not available that day. The odds of 5 people saying they're available, slim. So that may, you know, if we have 4, we could probably do, well, it's up to you whether you want to split it out over 2 days or not. You know, if we get down to 4, then my sense of urgency to get it done is better. You know, we could probably get 4 done pretty easily.
Can we shoot for Tuesday? Is that a reasonable date, or?
Yeah, and the other thing, too, I mean, we're looking at timing and the amount.
20.
Just as we learned Tuesday in Fargo, there may be people that show up that have comments about it that weren't on the schedule. That could take some time, too.
Correct.
You know, because that's...
can go both ways.
Yeah, that seemed to happen before.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Okay.
Schedule for Tuesday.
And then block Wednesday as a block it on the calendar, so we've got it Tuesday, Wednesday. I haven't heard from WSI on this, because to make it work, they are
a key piece of the puzzle.
30-31.
Do you think that'll work?
Okay, well, let's plan for that then, hoping that things work out for the 30th, but if we are going to need more time, that we would schedule into the 31st as well. Any other comments on meeting or any committee directive? We will meet in Minot, and then we will have one more meeting in Bismarck. And so at that time, certainly by our Bismarck meeting, we want to be able to discuss if legislation is going to come out of this committee, what we might want that to be. And so if we decide, no, we don't need any legislation, then that Bismarck meeting would be our final. But if we do, then obviously that would add another Bismarck meeting to take a look at that legislation going forward. So that's the update. If there are no further comments, we will adjourn.